What happened to Aretha, man?
She's gone. Okay. Good evening.
It's morning time, man. I guess they don't know
it's
that.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's so, what I hear.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Life the Last Frontier, a podcast about Alaska, the Great White North, our lives, and our travels through it. I'm Mike.
And I'm Josh. We're your hosts. We met years ago working in Southeast Alaska. Mike grew up a country bum on the West Coast.
And Josh is from the East Coast. He never grew up at all.
We have really similar and yet really different opinions and views on the world. And in this podcast, we're going to make you listen to the both of them.
What is this about today, Josh?
This podcast today is going to be specifically about crossing borders. Mostly we'll talk about Canadian borders and a little bit about Mexico because that's what we have experience with.
Right. This is another episode into our campers and living on the road series.
Yeah.
I have never been anywhere but Canada and the United States that I can remember, even though I feel like I grew up in Mexico. But you've actually been into Mexico. We've both been through Canadian borders. I have flown into and out of Canada, which is miserable. Have you flown in and out of anywhere?
No, I've never flown into another country. I've driven across the border a whole bunch of times, but that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So going into this, we will assume that a person is planning a trip let's say they're planning on driving up to Alaska for the first time. Right off the bat, what should they start? I mean, from vehicle to personal appearance to financial, what should they go into it thinking? What do they, you know, I mean, don't drive a beater vehicle for one.
Well, yeah,
like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But if we're specifically talking about border crossings, well, try not to do any, I mean, you know, get rid of your drugs before you get to the border. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Especially, I don't know about Mexico, but going into Canada, it is not, FYI, is not just walking across the border. Like, it's not easy necessarily.
Especially if you give him a little something to, a little reason to think maybe he's lying to me.
They'll make you cry. I've heard they will make a person cry. I haven't had happen to me, but I have heard of people.
They've never made me cry, but they've torn my vehicle apart a lot. They've taken me into rooms and interrogated me and separated me from the people I was with.
Yeah.
And interrogated all of us separately. One time I had some dried mushrooms in a jar that were just, I think they were just like the white mushrooms you buy at the store. I found a bunch of them in a dumpster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I dried them and had them in a jar, and they took them from me and said they went and tested them to make sure they weren't like magic hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Right.
But I think that's a crock of shit.
Could be there. Dang, maybe.
I'm cussing again. Sorry, Danny.
And Mom. So yeah, I mean, when you show up at the border, you know, it's for those of you that haven't been there, it looks like a giant a school / prison something or other, I don't know. You pull up and generally there'll be like some stoplights. Stop. Don't keep going to the stop sign.
Yeah,
stop at the stoplights. And then when the stoplight turns green, don't just pull ahead when the guy in front of you leaves the station. Wait till the stoplight turns green. Then pull up to the booth. Then
And when you get there, turn your vehicle off, especially if you have like a loud old truck like we got. Like, it's hard to talk. And for some reason, they seem to appreciate it.
Yeah, I always, like, I'll pull up, turn the vehicle off, window down, hands on the top of the steering wheel, just like you're getting pulled over.
Yeah, and give them your passport or whatever documentation you have. And I used to have so much trouble crossing the border, man. But I think that's because I was trying to give too much. I was trying to tell them things.
Yeah.
And now I just answer the questions they ask me. Don't give them too much information because they don't want to go through your stuff either. They just want you to get through there simple and easy.
And when they ask what you're doing, just tell them you're traveling. Don't tell them you're moving to Canada because you don't like the current president, because that's the quickest way to get turned around. You
did
can't
you
just move there. No, but when Trump got elected in, all these people was saying they're gonna go move to Canada. I'm like, you can't just move to Canada, you know. Simple answers, simple yes or no.
Don't try to tell them your life story.
Right. Don't feed them a line of shit.
Yeah, don't be nervous either. You're not under interrogation, you know what I mean? You're not
right.
Like doing anything wrong. I mean, you might be doing something wrong, but
and honestly, don't look like a vagabond or trying. Not to be offensive, but don't look like a vagabond and don't look like a hippie. If you think you might, wear a nice button-up shirt and dress really nice.
Dude, this is why I used to have so much trouble, because I was like, that, man, I'm who I am, and you guys can... But then I realized, oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, like take a second before you pull to the border away from, not within sight. Stop, clean up the front seat.
Yeah, take the bandana off your head.
Yeah, take the bandana off the seat and the Obey shirt off and put a nice button-up shirt up. Clean up your general area. If you've got any kind of giant, like, leafy plants hanging from your mirror, get that shit out of there, you know.
Yeah, it makes life easier. It's not changing who you are. It's
you don't have to like force who you are on the border patrol guards, because that's just gonna make life hard.
Yeah, for you and for them. Just for every. That's just being a dumb dumb.
Yeah. So look like you're going to an interview now.
Yeah.
Or a date with a nice pretty girl.
Yeah. Yep.
So what's gonna happen now? You've pulled up. You've stopped. You've given them your passport. When you and me went through right now, that was pretty very smooth.
Yeah, yeah. They normally ask you where you're from and where you're going. And it depends. And if you like, this is another thing I used to have trouble with. They ask me like where I'm from. I'd say, well, I live in Fairbanks now, but I'm from North Carolina. Don't say that, man. Just say Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes, I don't know how or why, but it just makes things simpler and easier.
Yeah.
And you get through there quicker.
And then what do you do when their next questions will be is how long will you be in the country for? And then of course the reason for traveling through the country.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's best to be honest with them, because I don't know what they got going on their little computer, but there's a magic strip in your passport and they record shit, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. They've taken me inside before and said, you past 5 years, you've been through this border 72 times. what you got going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they know, like, they keep track of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just be honest, man.
Yeah. It's, so say live in the coastal town of Skagway. The next place up is Whitehorse, so people go shopping there. So you're in and out. Some people go once a week.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty simple, they're used to that. So, but still, that might come up later. Just make sure you're honest with them and, you know, oh, we're coming up for the day shopping. But if it gets late and snows, we might stay at a hotel.
Yeah.
A lot of times they'll appreciate that. I don't think that's giving them too much information
or rambling. No, man, that's good, I think.
When I go through now, I'll be like, well, I'm going to try to drive through in 3 days, but it might be as much as a week.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll be like, well, why do you think it'll be as much as a week? Well, you know,
have you seen this old truck I'm driving?
Mechanical issues, and also I'm trying to slow down in life and stop and smell the roses. It's an honest answer, and you know, when you're not making shit up, they know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing. If you can like tell them the truth, it's easier.
And hey, if you were intending on staying in the country for 3 months, you should probably tell them that. And if you should also probably find out if you can stay in the country for 3 months before you tell them that.
Yeah. You pull up to the border and say, well, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I'm going to try to find a wife. I'm going to try to convince her to marry me real quick. I'd like to stay.
Yeah. It doesn't, that's not the way it works, folks. This is probably really something people need to look into as far as going to other countries. Which brings up our notes here. Last time when we went through, I tried to interview the Canadian Border Patrol as well as the U.S., and they both told me the same thing, which was politely to shove the microphone up my butt and to talk to public relations. So if you have interest in going into Canada, we got some bullet points here to tell you, but also... if you're concerned about what kind of firearms you can bring into the country, what kind of ammunition, what kind of fishing gear, bows and arrows, food products, anything, if you think your vehicle is too new or too old, or any silly questions about animals, fish, like your pet fish, your pet zebra, call Canadian Border Patrol Public Relations at 1-844-245-2272. That the Canadian Border Patrol guys gave me that.
Oh yeah.
And then
that's cool of them.
You can hop online to uscustomsandborderprotection.gov. I think that's the right email. And we have some other literature here. Customs and immigration. You can call them at never mind. There's just go online. That's the best
way to
go.
Yeah, you can find the stuff on the internet. They have little pamphlets and stuff they'll give you at the borders, but if you're there already, then it's kind of too late, you know?
Right. Okay, so real quick on driving into Canada, since hypothetically we're driving into Canada, what short of, they don't want no marijuana or anything like that, right?
Yeah, even though it's legal, like it's legal in Alaska and it's legal in Canada, but they don't want it to cross the borders.
Right. They also don't want you having guns or bear spray without letting them know.
Yeah.
They'll take the bear spray away.
But crossing it, if you've done the paperwork, crossing with a rifle is super easy, man. $25 and a little form.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never had any problems with that.
No.
It is easier if you fill the form out first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just look at the gun to be sure it's the same one you say you have, and that's it.
Yeah, so say that you're coming up to Alaska to hunt. Definitely look into, laws are always changing. I tried to get some information on this to tell people, but it's changed since the last time I looked.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Everything is always changing in Canada. It's a shit show as far as laws go.
Yeah.
Just, I would say within 10 days of going, double check, and the day before you hit the road heading to the border, check again. Check into the laws. There's certain, I believe you're not allowed to have any caliber from 0.223 through 0.32 or there, crazy stuff like that. You're not allowed to have, when I went through in the spring, you're not supposed to have magazine-fed firearms that are capable of fully automatic fire. So if you, some explanation there from the border guards, is an SKS, if people are familiar, that was never manufactured as a fully automatic weapon. However, it's a semi-automatic with, you can put a magazine on it. It's got an internal magazine. Those are legal, but an AK-47 is not. Same bullet, similar version of a rifle, but the AK was produced as a fully automatic. They shoot the same round. They have about the same magazine capacity depending on your aftermarket upgrades. And you can make an SKS fully automatic. The thing was, it wasn't manufactured that way. So bolt action rifles are not fully automatic, obviously, so they're fine. But if they have a magazine of over 5 rounds, you can't have them as of this spring. It might have changed by now. Also, there's barrel lengths, calibers you can't have, yada, 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 yada. So definitely call the number, hit them up before you drive up with your fancy hunting rifle.
Yeah, and especially have it, if you're going to be crossing the border, like, you know, 500 miles from home.
And honestly, if you have, say you're coming up to hunt or whatever with firearms, or you're moving up here, you've flown up into Alaska, but you haven't driven and you're driving all your gear up, or even driving down, you might just ship the damn stuff, whether it's from FFL to FFL or from yourself to yourself. You can, Sportsman's Warehouse here in Alaska, you can talk with them as far as shipping your firearms up. That's a good way of doing it. And it's, what you said, is $25
to cross the border. Yeah.
Is that per firearm?
I don't know. I think it's for
just
three.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I think you can have three on each form.
So nevertheless, check into this stuff. If you want to find out if you can carry 5 pounds of marijuana, medical marijuana, and you got a medical marijuana card, I'll tell you right now, you can't do it. Like, they don't care about your medical marijuana card. Same with booze and tobacco.
Yeah, so pretty much what we're saying is just answer simply, don't be nervous, and do some research before you get there.
Yeah, do your research.
And that would go for any country, right? I mean, we're talking about Canada, but...
Right. You know, Canada's one of the most common. Go through, if you've got a camper, it doesn't hurt to unpack the damn thing. If you live in your thing on your trailer, go through it thoroughly, because you might have a clip from an AR-15 or you know, some, you might have something in there that they're gonna lose their mind about.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? And also, if there's a, so one time I was crossing the border and the lady was really, really tearing all my stuff apart, and I had a old truck with like a fold down seat, you know.
Yep.
And it, or the top of it was supposed to open, and there was like a pocket in there, you know.
Yep.
But I never could, like, I owned that truck for 2 years, and I never could figure out how to open that thing up. Oh man, it drove that lady nuts. She worked on it for probably a half hour.
Damn.
And then she took me inside, like, interrogated me, made me empty all my pockets, and she went nuts because I couldn't figure out how to open that thing. So try to know how to open all the little secret storage ways in your truck.
Yeah, and they will. If they think you're hiding something, I've heard of them tearing shit apart.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never heard of them cutting apart stuff, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't put them past it or whatever.
And some, there are x-rays and stuff for at some of the border crossings. I never heard of anyone having to go through one, but the semi-truck drivers do.
Yeah. And some of those things are supposed to detect radiation, right?
Yeah,
or
I know.
Something like that.
I had an uncle or a cousin in Washington that was driving through the border for work, driving a truck, and they'd have to run it through this thing that scanned the truck, looking for people and all kinds of stuff. And who knows the technology they have that we don't know.
Yeah.
But what else you got on your list?
I don't know. I Can't read my own handwriting.
Have documentation ready. Don't force it in their face, but, you know, have your vehicle registered. You should yeah. have insurance. I've only had them ask for it once, and also have, driver's license, you know. Your criminal record, that's you. If you're a felon, you can't drive through the border, and you might want to look into some other stuff if you got some crazy criminal record.
I think when I drove into Mexico, I had to have special Mexican insurance, and I had to show them proof of it at the border. That was a long time ago, but
yeah. So yeah, entertain us on, we're gonna wrap this up here pretty soon, but entertain us on driving into Mexico.
I mean, it was a long time ago, and I was young, so, or I was 22, I think. So I was exceptionally nervous, and it was intimidating.
Yeah,
there was lots of guys with guns and stuff, and I told the guy that I was talking to, I was gonna be there for 6 months or longer than that, actually. Anyway, I needed to get a special, like, long tourist visa, and when I was talking to him, I told him I was going to be working on a ranch and not just staying on a ranch. And since I said working, he like flipped his lid, you know.
Yeah, you can't go work in other countries.
Yeah, he wanted me to get this other visa that cost a lot of money and was a pain in the butt, even though I wasn't getting paid. I was going to be working, but I wasn't making any money, so it was just a tourist, really. So use the right words when you're talking to those mm-hmm. people, because words matter.
Yes.
And that's all about that.
I can add something about flying. I tried to fly Air Canada. Never do it. Just don't do it. Don't do it.
I can't remember. I remember you having a bad time, but I don't remember why.
Miserable. I flew from down south back up north and was going to fly into Whitehorse, and and some friends were going to pick me up the day before New Year's. And let's see, how'd it go? Anyhow, I didn't go to bed for 3 days. got stuck in Canada for 2.5 days. There's a bunch of bad storms in interior Canada. And
yeah.
Airlines were down all over the place. And I was stuck in some Canadian city. I don't remember. And they just kept like having me run over to this terminal and then to that terminal. A new ticket here, new ticket there. I had like 16 tickets at the end of the deal because they kept giving me new ones for new flights. And those kept getting canceled. And people run around all over the place. The airport was so packed. It was at one point in time, man, before like people started getting flights, it was like standing room only in the airport.
Dang.
This is an international airport.
Where was it?
In not Bellingham, down there in British Columbia,
like Vancouver.
Vancouver, yeah, it's a big ass airport.
Yeah,
you know, it's like SeaTac or whatever.
Man, and it was standing room only.
Yeah, all these people. Crazy. I mean, when you have 2 days of missed flights and canceled flights, there's a lot of people because the flights weren't stopping coming in, but going out they were.
Yeah,
and so finally they got their shit together, but by then my connecting flights were long past.
Yeah.
And they were going to charge me X amount of money to get to Whitehorse. And
jeez,
I lost
man.
My mind. I made a big scene. Like, it takes a lot for me to get angry. But I made a little Chinese lady cry. And I kind of feel bad. But at the same time, come on. It's your damn job to be public relations and customer service.
Yeah.
And just because I'm not from your damn country doesn't mean that I really don't know what was going on. Everyone was overwhelmed. It was a mess. I was like, look, just get me back to Seattle.
Yeah.
And at first it's like, you know, reimburse me for the flight from here to freaking Whitehorse because it was not necessarily cheap.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's only, we're not going to fly. We can get you a flight to Whitehorse in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. I'm like, what do you expect me to do from there on? And like, well, you can stay at a hotel. Like, yeah, never mind. This means that I'll be in the country illegally for 2 weeks because when I came in, you go through the border at the airport and you declare how long you'll be in country.
Yeah.
And I believe if you claim that you'll be in country for 2 days, but then you're there for 2 weeks, in their legal system, you've lied and you're there illegally, even though it's legal to be there for so long.
Yeah.
But
2 weeks is
yeah.
a lot of money, so, man.
Yeah, so naturally I start to kind of lose my shit, you know? And yeah, missed work, and that's what it came down to. Like, you know?
That's crazy.
So finally, I was like, look, just fly me back to Seattle. And they're like, we can't do that. It's just, all we are obligated to do is get you to Whitehorse. And I was like, look, finally, this is when I made people cry and lost my mind, and security came, and it was a mess. So finally, they flew me back to Seattle, and then I had to buy a ticket from Seattle to Juneau, which was $700-something.
Dang.
Usually less, it's like a $200 ticket.
Because you had to get it last minute or whatever?
Yeah.
man, dude.
So, and then the ferry wasn't running, so I got a ticket from there. It cost me almost $1,000. No, over $1,000 to get up. Like, it was a mess.
Get all that noise, man. Yeah.
Now, maybe I just had a bad experience with Canadian Air, but I've also heard other horror stories from people trying to fly in a white horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, just so that's just my experience. That's not everyone's experience.
Yeah.
Also going through the border, you got, even though they like that was something that really messed me up. I thought I was gonna miss my flight. I flew in to Vancouver. You could go, and I had 30 minutes to get to my flight. But when you fly in from, say, Seattle or another lower 48, I think I flew in from Montana, you have to go through the border. And that's a long process. You gotta go from one wing of the airport to the other wing to this wing to take a little trolley to get to border, whatever. And then you go through their border system, and there's all these computer thingies you gotta go through and facial recognition shit that you don't get out of. And then you gotta go talk to a person. And they, people... Like, there were people from, like, India crying at this place, man. They are not nice at the airport. Or maybe it's because of the holidays and they were just grouchy.
Yeah.
But that is probably one of the most harshest times as far as interaction with a Border Patrol agent.
Yeah.
They basically, you just walk up to the desk and they grill the crap out of you. And they're like, all right, you're good to go, you know, after 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So here I am, like, maybe 10 minutes past the time I'm supposed to be on the flight. And I'm running... And I get there, and there's all these people, and it's still waiting to board. I'm like, oh, thank God. Half an hour later, still waiting to board. An hour later, it's like, oh, the plane's actually not here yet. And then 2 hours later, flight's canceled. And beginning of living in an airport for 2 days. So, yeah, maybe do your research on flying.
Yeah, that's that's the basis of all this, right? Do your research, keep it simple.
And talk to the other people that done it, because that's something I didn't do.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that big of a deal, because you're so disconnected with the fact that it's another country when White Horse is right there. And you live, you know, it's almost like Yukon's an extension of Alaska at times, and vice versa, but it's not. It's another country. We forget that.
Yeah, so, I agree with you there.
What other little tidbits?
I don't know, man. What time is it?
We need to wrap this up.
Oh, snap. Yeah, I gotta go.
Okay, so in wrapping this up, go to, for information, go to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. They have a website. It's at .gov. And then looking into going into Canada, there's Canadian Club. Just look up going into Canada.
Yeah, you can find the stuff on the internet. People know how to use Google.
Ask your friends. A lot of people out there listening are probably really well traveled.
Yeah.
Or know people that traveled to Thailand or some crazy place.
Yep. So yeah, sounds good, man.
Closing comments.
Keep it simple and do your research.
Make sure when you're driving, make sure your vehicle is in mechanically good shape. If you can't shut it off at the border, probably shouldn't be driving it through, because they won't let you, you know?
Yeah, that's a good little bit of advice there.
Yeah. Well, okay, so safe travels, everyone.
Yep.
Catch you on the flip side.
Bye, y'all.
Hey, folks, thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. Sure hope you enjoyed it, and we sure do enjoy bringing it to you. If you have a moment, hop onto the Instagram and follow us at Life the Last Frontier. We love seeing what our followers are up to, and it gives us a chance to catch up with y'all. You can also like us on the Facebook if you like. We do have a page there. And hey, a big thank you and shout out to the folks that have been contributing and supporting the podcast. We sure do appreciate it. Anyhow, we hope you have a great day, and we'll catch you on the flip side.